So I want to talk to you this morning about God needs your hands and your compassion. But before I read the scriptures, let me say again, thanks to Jeff and Trish for having all the church folk up for a cookout and a hay ride. Roy brought his tractor and trailer, and Jeff had his tractor and trailer, and we just had a wonderful time, didn't we, church? Amen. It's very important to fellowship. A church that fellowships, they get to know one another better. So many churches and so many people, actually, and sometimes we might be guilty to a certain extent even here, come in just quick enough to get in the service, and as soon as service is over, we're gone. Don't have time to shake hands or hardly fellowship with people here at the church. Time sneaks away, doesn't it? But this gives us time to sit down and eat a hot dog, throw a little chili and relish on it, mustard, ketchup, whatever you want, and have a good time. Eat some of that old sweet stuff that people has brought. Oh, that's so good. Something we don't need is good, isn't it? But we had a wonderful time. If you didn't get to come, we're sorry that you didn't. But it was a great, great time. Try to make it to the next if you can. It's really nice to get up on the Doe Creek and take a ride down where you can look in the river and see how low it is. And I asked anybody, did they want to be baptized while we're going by? And one come back and one said, if you'd asked me, I'd have been baptized, but I didn't know it. Well, we'd have baptized them, hey. But anyway, we'll have to do that at a later time, maybe. If you'll stand, we'll read you a few verses of Scripture found in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 25. Notice what the Scripture says in Matthew 25, beginning verse 35. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for clarifying these scriptures. Lord, we do need to see that people have food and clothes and shoes or whatever else, Lord, they need. But God, we know you've already told us if we would pray and seek your face and go by your leading and guiding that you'd help us. And we do know the Bible also says, Lord, that you would supply all our need. And Lord, I'm telling and asking this morning, God, above all things, that you help us. That we can recognize, Lord, that we can be helpers. We can do more. And I'm asking God that you give us encouragement to do more. In Jesus' name, and the church says, Amen. As a little boy, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. 12 years old, just a young lad. He got lost in the crowd in Jerusalem as they went up for the Passover. Mary and Joseph missed him, thinking he was with another family. Other boys and girls, probably his age. He wasn't with the boys and girls. He was with the high priest and sitting and talking to them. And when they finally found him, Mary was kind of like most mothers. She was concerned and worried and troubled. And then he said, I must be about my father's business. And she understood exactly what he was saying. So consider who Jesus touched or could touch if he had your heart, your hands, and your compassion. Jesus needs your hands and your heart and your compassion. Can you say amen to that? Make today count. Think about this real carefully. Make today count. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make today count. Kindness is a unique gesture of human beings. We do not have to have money to be this. It could be as easy as holding a door open or helping carry a load like somebody's groceries or sharing a smile. Kindness could be allowing a car to pull out and you allow them to pull in front of you. But let me caution you, though, never make a strong gesture by hand signs and motion and all of this, because if you do and they pull out and another car hits them, you could be held liable. So we need to understand that. We have a big problem here in Irvin, especially over around the McDonald's and places like that. People motion somebody out, and sometimes they motion somebody out and there'll be another car coming. So please don't motion somebody out unless you absolutely know that there's not a car coming, because you could be held liable. And we don't want to pay for a wreck or get somebody hurt or killed, right? So why do you not do so? In other words, why don't you help more people? Why don't you do something that you know you should do? The Bible says, therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. There's a preacher tells this story, and I want to use some things that this preacher wrote, and I thought it was so very valuable and important. It touched my heart, and I believe it might touch yours too. He said, I saw an old man struggling at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Preachers go there, you know. He had a walking stick and two plates of food. He was going to have difficulty carrying his food. He was afraid of falling without his stick or his walking cane. So what was he going to do? He says, I felt compelled to help him. And then he went on and said, when I finished, I went over and sat down next to him and started talking. And his wife of 62 years old had recently been put in a rest home or a nursing home. And he was lonely and afraid. The tears started running down his face. And he said, I just listened as he poured his heart out. He said, I started crying. I thanked him. But I felt the need to pray for him, and I asked permission. It's very important to ask permission before you pray for somebody. Some people don't want you to pray. So he held his hand out and he said, we cried and prayed together. And as I was leaving, there was a lady at the next table thanked me for just caring. Folks, it's important that we see the less fortunate take time to help them. Can anybody say amen to that? So there's two things it seemed to be lacking today, and one is emotions and compassion. Jude 1 and 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. A lot of people make a difference in people. You know, it's a shame, but we're all equal, but some people make a difference. But why in the world should we make a difference? God made us all out of clay. That's how we started out, with just a hunk of mud. And why in the world do we think our mud is more important than somebody else's mud? So we're all important in the eyes of God, aren't we? So we might be looking for an easy, quick way, not the journey of compassion. This same preacher told this, and I thought this was another very interesting testimony. He said, I was at a huge Nashville hospital visiting a friend. We had a super visit, and while waiting for an elevator, I saw a little old black lady sitting in a wheelchair looking out the window. She could not walk. I noticed that she was quietly crying. I was touched. But when the elevator opened, I overrode the emotions I was feeling. I felt I should listen to her story, so I got back on the elevator after riding down and went back to where she was at. And as he was coming, he said, I was really deep down hoping she was already gone. Now, see, he was trying to obey God, but yet he was trying to shirk his duty because he was hoping she was gone. But the door opened and the crippled little black lady was staring out the window and tears running down her cheeks. He said, I sat down next to her and patted her hands. She never looked up. I could feel her pain. I noticed both her legs were gone. She explained to me that the doctor had cut her legs off. Her family lived hours away and rarely came to see her. He said, I sat there for around 2 hours and we cried together. We talked, but mainly I listened to her. She had been a singer at her church. The young people never knew her. He says, I quoted her some verses of scripture for comfort. I got up to leave and to walk to the elevator, and she called me back to her side. She looked up at me and told me my white hair was beautiful. Then she asked me, Sir, are you an angel? What is your name? Michael? I explained, I am not an angel. My name does not matter. I just love Jesus. She said again, I think God sent you to me. You have to be an angel. I cried all the way home, he said. How many old people just need a person to listen? How many old people just need somebody to listen? Not to feel sorry for them, but just to listen. They have testimonies that we have never heard before. They've been touched through the years with things that we have never maybe even thought about. So sometimes older people just need somebody to listen to them. Give an ear. Don't go and try to tell them how to do things and what to do. Go in and just, like he did, show her compassion. Well, I wouldn't want to sit by old black lady. Somebody might see me and my white hair and me white and she's black. When God looks down, I don't think he looks at colors, do you? I think when God looks down, he don't even look at our skin. He looks at our heart. And he sees what kind of heart we really have. So what motivates us? Investing in people could be the best thing we could do. How many kids, listen to this, most of our kids are in there. I think this would be very appropriate, but how many of our kids were up all night. Mom and dad were drunk, high on drugs, screaming and fighting with each other. The kids go to bed in great fear and praying the best way they know how. The kids are dirty and smelly. The kids may be hungry and tired. He or she may lay their heads down on their desk at school. And when because they're so tired where they didn't get much rest, and the other kids will laugh and make fun of them at school. You know, what kids we do have, I want you to understand, we need to be a friend with some of these children. Just because you don't have a home that has drunk parents or high on drugs, you might be a help to them. Don't be afraid to. What the other kids might say, they're going to laugh. Kids are harsh. They have harsh things to say. And It takes one kid to agitate all the rest of them, get them all stirred up, and get them all to talking about something they shouldn't be talking about, laughing, making fun at somebody. I know what it's like to be laughed at. I didn't have the best clothes when I went to school. They'd laugh because Mom, I think one time, put a red patch on the seat of my blue jeans. That's the only material she had. But it covered my nakedness. Was you embarrassed to wear them? Well, sure I was. Because I know they were going to laugh. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter about people laughing. We just need to obey God and do the very best we can. Be honorable. Do your best. Could someone allow God to use them in some way? It's amazing, is it not? The story of a pastor, and this is what we're facing today, folks. You think pastors have it made. They don't have any problems. They just stand up and preach once or twice a week or three times, and that's all they are. They go home, they don't have anything to do, and hey, what have you done all day? Just lay around and sleep? There's more to pastoring the church than just laying around and sleeping. I wish people could follow me some weeks and they wouldn't think it's so much fun. But the story of a pastor, and this is a true thing that took place. The numbers had grown. The budget had need of increase. And he sees his wife suffering. And the kids have made great sacrifice. And he feels like a failure. And no one has said a good word to him. It's just complain, complain, and complain. The music is too loud. The songs sound like funeral music. The preacher's tie don't match his suit. And then the defeated pastor, listen to this, and this is taking place all over the United States of America anymore. This pastor loaded a gun, placed it to his head, and took his life. Could God have used somebody to encourage him? You see, pastors need pastor friends. Pastors need friends, not complainers all the time. It's okay to complain occasionally. You know, it's amazing to me because these things do take place. You say, well, why in the world a pastor take his life? I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes pastors' nerves, they snap. Not just because they're human beings just like everybody else. It's amazing. I can't understand. I really can't understand, excuse me, of feeling like a failure at times. By listening to belly aching and griping and complaining. You should do it this way or that way. I want to tell you the truth. Sometimes I get fed up. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I get fed up. Sometimes people need to think before they speak, including myself. Can anybody say amen to that? So we need to understand, folks, that these things do happen. Complaining is okay to a certain extent, but don't just continue on and on. Proverbs 11:25 says, a liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. A liberal soul. We need to be a liberal soul, folks. We need to help others. You see, God's looking for a people in a place that where negative people can find help when they have big problems and they need solutions where they can find help. Not because they come just for that one purpose, but when they come through the door, we must be ready to help. Well, I know them sorry things. They've been on drugs for a long time. They've been this and they've been that and all this. They're from a sorry family, a low-life bunch of people and all this. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are when you get judgmental? And I know I'm sounding a little harsh this morning. I don't mean to, but I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost all the way down in here. And it's time that we understand that God needs helping hands, not killing hands. God is good, is he not? He is wonderful. We have one of the greatest potentials. We have a great bunch of young people. And I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes it takes a lot of patience when it comes to young people. And I'm thankful that Brad and Desiree is doing a good job, and the ones that help them, they're doing a good job. If you come to youth service, you'll see the maturity of these kids and how they're maturing every single time that they step on the stage to sing a song, do a skit, or read a sermon, or whatever it might be. Great-grandson stood right up here, and he said something, and it's touched my heart, and I've laughed about it, but he's really true. He said some people are just stupid. I mean, I wouldn't tell you you're stupid or nothing like that, but he didn't say you. He just said some people. So he got away with it, and I'm not going to try to get away with it. No way. See, Luke 1 and 35, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing, folks, nothing shall be impossible. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, for the eye of the Lord runneth to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have war. This is what you have. You have war when you don't have peace. And it's not good, is it not? Sure, our days are full of trouble. And our God has five more smooth stones that we could get from the brook. We know what God did with the smooth stones. He didn't need them all, so I think we have plenty left. Job in the Sunday school this time has been about Job a whole lot, and I think it's great to see what a man of God went through to prove how good God is. Job 14 and 1 says, a man is born of woman and full in a few days and full of troubles. And in the same chapter, just dropping down to verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. We're waiting on the change, folks. We've got bodies that aches and pains, and I'm telling you what, sometimes they hurt real bad, don't they? These old bodies sometimes just get wore over the years. We've maybe abused them by not eating the right food or abused them some other way, but still yet, we need to understand that this body is not going anywhere off this earth. We are going off of this earth with a glorified body. And I'm glad to say that I don't know about you, but hey, the more miles I get on me, hey, I can really tell the difference, can't you? You don't have to be real old to have a lot of pain. All you have to do is just be a person, and we're a person, and we're going to have pain. So there's two appointment sets or settings. And these tend to lose living in the daily mental choice we have. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, and as it is appointed unto man, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's a young man wrote this poem, and I want to just share it with you. He says, death is something that will eventually be. Now or later for you and me. I wonder how. I wonder why. Accidentally or naturally. How will I die? I guess this makes me think about how I will live. Life is not only take, but is also a time to give. Without love and without friends, life would be useless to an all ends. What happens after your last breath? There are many questions about the subject of death. Is it with ease or is it with great pain? Is it all loss or is it great gain? Life is short. Do what you can. Do something special to help your fellow man. Death may come when you're least expect it. So please treat each day with a great deal of love and respect. Can anybody say amen to that? The certainty and the uncertainty. There's a man that did this painting. It's covered up. You can't see it now, but if you've come here very long, you've seen that painting over the years. There's a man named Wade Hughes. Wade Hughes did that painting, and he pastored churches for a long time. He just retired from the West Frankfort Church of God just recently, probably about a month ago. He retired. One great man, and I tell you, when we went to, Sister Gordon and I went to Cleveland, Tennessee for our commissioning service, he was our guide and our teacher, and we really appreciated him because he could tell funny stories, but he could also do some great things. He's a great artist. He could draw. I don't know when Sister Gordon and I ever sat down at a restaurant and eat with him, and he didn't draw our picture on the napkin, and he would give it to us after he got finished. He could draw. He could do a lot of things, and it's just amazing what a guy this was. But Wade Hughes is 88 years old, and he's pastored 67 years he pastored, besides all the other things that he did. 18 churches in 5 states. And when asked, and I've heard him say this so many times, when asked, what have you learned in these 88 years? He said, nothing surprises me anymore. Two of my greatest lessons that have been, number one, he says, I have learned how sweet and wonderful and giving and understanding people can be. But then he also said, number two, I am amazed on how mean-spirited and cruel people can be. Two things that he noticed and observed during all of his ministry, how sweet and wonderful and giving and understanding people could be. But then on the other hand, his number two statement was, I am amazed of how mean-spirited and cruel people can be. Now, he's not talking about people out in the street. He's talking about church people. He's talking about people that attend church. So there is some of the most wonderful and sweet people you ever meet in church. But then on the other hand, there's a few that they are mean-spirited. And it's cruel. They're cruel. They see no good in a lot of people. So he went on to say, sometimes it's the same people that are kind, and then they are mean. Folks, don't ever lose a good, sweet spirit. Don't ever let your spirit become hard-hearted and judgmental. Because I'm telling you, we all started out as sinners. We're just saved by grace. It's the difference between us and them. God has helped us. He saved our soul. So don't allow yourself to fall back in that category with sinners. Don't let yourself fall back in that category and become a mean and a cruel person and evil. Because I'm telling you, cruelty is not good. I tell you, it's terrible and it's a shame of what we see sometimes and what goes on. But folks, make it a point to never, never let yourself become so bitter and angry and cruel to people, because people are just like you. So hey, death is something that we will eventually be, now or later, for you and me. See, we're all once appointed a man to die. I mean, it's once appointed a man to die. It's appointed us all to die. So we need to understand that. So please, treat each day with great deal of love and respect. We need to respect one another, folks. You may not agree with everything that people says, or you may not agree with everything I say, and that's okay. But hey, we're all human. But don't get mean. Don't get cruel. Don't get so judgmental you say, well, I don't agree with them. They're just a bunch of sinners. They're this and they're that and they're something. Hey, let's be kind and considerate one with another. I know this kind of sounds like a kind of a rough message, but I'm telling you, folks, I believe this is what God have us to have today. We need to understand from experience of a man 88 years old, pastored 67 years, a great man of God, I tell you, hey, but he got kind of forgetful and tired. He was wore out, 88 years old. Hey, I'm telling you something, he went a long time pastoring, did he not? He is a wonderful and a precious guy, a great mentor. He's helped a whole lot of people over the years, and I tell you, he is one that he would tell it like it is, but he'd do it with all the love in his heart. So have you ever considered gloves? You consider a pair of gloves. What's the importance of a pair of gloves? Well, one thing, a pair of gloves covers your hands. It protects your hands. It protects them from a lot of different ways. But also gloves on a doctor's hands, what do? They protect their hands from being in certain things, and they protect you from the germs that might possibly be on their hands. But the thing about it is, our hands, we don't have to worry about the germs if we're helping God, because God is going to take care of all of this. He's good. He's wonderful. So God needs your hands. He needs our hands, folks. There's a job for every person in this building today. Some kind of job you can do for God. I can't do much. I can't. Stop saying can't and say, God, if you'll help me, I can do it. Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Right? So if we do everything we know to do for God, he's going to bless us and he's going to help us. We have a great opportunity, but time is running out, folks. Listen to me carefully. Time's running out. We're not going to be here forever. There's coming a day that I'll preach my last sermon. This may be it today. I don't know. But if it is, hey, don't worry about it. Don't be crying around over me, because y'all going to be just looking at the old body. If it's me laying there, I'm going to be gone. I won't be there. I'll be out of here. Hey, I'll be looking back down probably. If I got time to look back down, rejoice in having a wonderful time. So God is good, is he not? He is precious, he is wonderful, and he is great. Death is always an unexpected twist in our journey. The best laid plan that we may never accomplish, we think. But there will be storms that will blow. There'll be things come our way. Come to music, please. But there will be things that God will help us. Because we have a tendency to say this, like in the book of James, chapter number 4, and beginning of verse 13. We have a tendency to think this and say this. Go to, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, listen to this, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, I shall live and do this or that. We have no way of knowing what tomorrow's going to bring. The worst thing we could ever conclude is, hey, I have plenty of time, plenty of time. I have plenty of time. I don't have to get in no hurry. I'm going to live a long life, and I don't have to worry about it. I've got plenty of time. There's been many of a good person that come and fall under conviction in churches, and I'm sure this one is no different than any other. Be under conviction and feel a convicting drawing of God. And they think, and the devil will tell them, no doubt, I've got plenty of time. I don't have to worry about it. Hey, I'm going to live a long life. I won't have to worry about it. I've got plenty of time. I'm good out there. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to do my thing. And then, hey, then after a while, I'll get tired of all that life. And then I'll give my life to the Lord and work it out. Listen, folks, you don't have any promise you'll make it another day. Use today wisely. Let God help you. Surrender totally to him. He's the only one that can see us through. So life is short. God needs your hands to work for him, not for the devil. He needs you to use compassion and love toward one another. Visit an old person. Talk to them. Listen to them. Mainly listen to them. Pray with them and all of this. God is good, is he not? Even Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, said, I must be about my Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. Would you stand all over the building, please? If we all had to fill out a report card this today and fill it out in all honesty, how many chances did we have to help someone this week or encourage someone and we didn't do it? How many of us would come up as a failure? How many of us would come up getting a big fat F on our report card? We need to do our best, folks. Time's running out. The altar's open this morning. I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you doing all you could do for the Lord? Are you really trying with your whole heart? Or are you just kind of coasting along? Well, let everybody get theirs like I've got mine. The Bible says if we see our brother in need and shut up our bowels of compassion against them, how dwelleth the love of God in us? Those people need help. Listen to people. Talk to people. Encourage people. But let's start out with ourselves today. Let's get ourselves where God can use us. The altar's open as they play and sing. How about it? You want to come and pray?